Today's episode is called Honesty, and you'll hear why in a sec.
Get active with Midlands 183, powered by HereMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Here when you need us. HereMed.ie.
So I promised at the start of this marathon challenge I would be totally honest about this journey. It's one of the things I promised. I've no affiliation with running, I've no need to promote it or anything, so I said I'll be absolutely honest about the journey towards running a marathon. And I have been. I've shared my ups and downs, my injuries, my health scare. But during the week, I had a little bit of a wobble. I was standing in my kitchen and I was just thinking about the scale of the challenge that lies ahead. And I thought about giving up. I did, honestly. I thought, what am I doing here? Seriously, am I genuinely able for this? You know, the injury that knocked me, the training I missed out on, not being where I should on the plan. And I hit a low point. And I thought, I'll just call a halt. I'm finished with the lot. I'm done. But then I thought about the challenges other people are facing. You know, there's people out there, you may be one of them, fighting for their lives right now, going through treatment. They can't give up. I can. I can choose to quit. They can't. I think about the children and their families that are going through unimaginable hell right now, that are passing through Barrystown House, and they can't quit. So I gave Marion Lynch from Barrystown a call. Now, Marion's journey with Barrystown started when she and her family were at their lowest point.
I suppose my Barrystown journey started a long before I started to work here. So I was a camper back in 2008. So unfortunately, in the early months of 2008, my sister passed away. So she had gone through a serious illness, but she passed away quite quickly. And so we never got to avail of the services of Barrystown. So after she passed, we were told by Crumlins Children's Hospital about the other services that Barrystown provides, and that's their bereavement programme. So we were able to attend Barrystown as a family, and we attended three sessions kind of over the course of a 12-month period. So we were kind of unsure as to what we were going to get into. We didn't know what. We'd never heard about Barrystown before. But, you know, Crumlin were really good in supporting us to get down here and, you know, encouraged us to do so. So we attended camp over 12 months and, you know, we learned so much, you know, when you're going through some sort of life altering event, whether it's through illness or through bereavement, you look around and you look for the support of the people around you. But there's only so much the people can do when they don't necessarily understand. They have empathy, but they don't really have the full understanding of what you're going through. And so to come down to Barrystown and experience that, where you're met with 30 other families who are going through pretty much very similar journeys to you, some of them on different legs of that journey, you know, some of them further on, and you are just able to be supported by other families and the team at Barrystown. So that's kind of where my journey started, was those three camps with my family. And it just changed the course of my life, I think, and my family's life. We were different people when we arrived at camp versus when we left. And I think years later, I'd still always think about Barrystown and always think about the impact that it had on my family. And so I went back in 2017 to volunteer. As soon as I was able to, I wanted to be able to be part of that journey for other people, to support them and show them that there was light at the end of the tunnel, because I had been through that. And so I wanted to be part of that for those families as well. And I kind of continued on then, you know, volunteering just wasn't enough for me. So I then actually applied to be staff in 2019, where I worked on the program team, running the camps with the families for about 2 years, 2.5 years. And then I became volunteer coordinator. So again, I wanted to support the volunteers who wanted to support the families. And then most recently, then I have swapped over to corporate fundraising to be able to spread the word and do more to kind of get Barrystown's name out there, along with raising the vital funds that we need.
How old were you when your sister passed away, Mario?
So I was only 10 at the time. She was my older sister. So I have three sisters. So she would have been the second eldest. And I was the youngest of the four. So yeah, it's not something anybody should ever have to go through. It's not something anybody should ever have to experience. But unfortunately, many families do. And when you're 10 years old, you're looking at your other sisters, you're looking at your parents, you're looking at your friends, your aunts, your uncles, to try and get the support that you need but all of them are going through their own grief. So they may not be capable of giving you the support that you need in the way that's in line with theirs. You know, one of the things that I learned at Bardstown is that everybody's grief process is different. And this goes for families going through serious illness as well. Everyone's sort of coping mechanisms are so different, whether they are your twin sisters or your moms or your aunts, like they're very different. And if you think that your way of dealing with things is different, it makes you start to think, well, maybe I'm doing it wrong. And you're not, you know. So when you get exposed to so many people who have very different ways of grief and coping, it starts to realize, okay, I can cope with it in my own way, but it doesn't mean that that way is wrong.
Grief is something we don't really get. And I don't think you can talk to somebody about grief unless you've been through it yourself. So Bardstown have that incredible support network. And like grief doesn't have to be death. Grief can be an illness. It can be any sort of loss. And to have that support network around you of, you know, young boys and girls that are going through the same thing, if you're a child in Bardstown or if you're an adult, to talk to other families about it. That is so important. And I don't think people realise the importance of that that's provided by Bardstown.
Yeah. And I think it's something that people may not even think about. You know, they go through, they hear about Bardstown, they hear about the work that we do, and it's, you know, all they see is fun. And that's what we want all of the families and kids to experience is fun. But there is that underlying element of that support, you know, that idea of that continuum of care, you know, we're there at the beginning of a child's diagnosis in the hospitals with our outreach team. We bring them onto camp and we are there for them and to expose them to other people going through similar journeys. And unfortunately, if it does happen, we are there for them after. If their child passes away, that continuum of care is so vital. And all of that is just completely embedded in the support of other people who are understanding to their journeys.
How do you deal with that from the other side? So, Marion, you've obviously been there and, you know, you're involved around that network of people that are helping you through the grief. But how do you turn the tables now and how do you become the person who is that support network for other people and children? Like we're talking about children that have to go through this, you know, there's the illness, obviously. Unfortunately, kids have passed through Bardstown, they've passed on. But the devastation that's left behind with their family been torn apart by this. But how do you become the person that comes from being, you know, somebody who's grieving to somebody who can support somebody who's grieving?
Yeah, it's a question that I suppose I don't get asked too often. So it's a food for thought. But I suppose the one thing that I always continuously remind myself is the reason why I'm here. You know, the reason why I'm here is because of Bardstown, is because of people who gave up their free time in order to support you, potentially a complete stranger, to go through the most difficult time of your life. And I think it just reminds you that no matter what you're going through, there's still good people in the world. But no matter what you're going through, and if you can use what you've experienced to help another person get from point A to point B, or even halfway to point B, then, you know, it's not all for nothing. You know, I went through this really horrendous time of my life, and I will be forever grateful for the people that have supported me through that journey. And to be able to turn around and have that positive impact, you know, I suppose I think about what potentially my life would have been like without Bardstown, and I can't imagine what it would have been like. I can't imagine the person I would have become if it weren't for the people I met. And I suppose to be able to flip something so negative to happen in your life, to be able to help other people to go through it and get to a point in where they are able to carry on. You know, there's no such thing as you get over it. There's no such thing as there's an end. You know, there's no, you know, moving on. You know, some people don't like that term. It's moving on, but in a different way. It's not getting over it.
Yeah.
And if you can get somebody to a point where they can see that, then it makes it all worth it. It makes my experience to be able to show people that there is a way. And I suppose I'll always remember there was one particular mother that I met. So after I was volunteering, and it was quite early on in my years of volunteering, And I was very unsure as to, you know, whether I told people my story or whether I just be there as a volunteer, just supporting them in a normal day-to-day way. And I suppose it came up in conversation. So it wasn't something that I would openly like land on somebody. If they asked me what my journey was, I would absolutely tell them. And I remember talking to this mum one day just at dinner, and she had a little girl who was about 10 at the time. And I was sitting down talking to her, normal conversation. She just asked me, you know, how I got involved in Bardstown. And so I told her that I was a camper and I lost my sister when I was 10. And she kind of looked at me, stopped for a second, looked back at her 10-year-old little girl and looked back at me, and she says, "Thank you." And I was kind of like, "For what?" And she said, "You're after giving me hope that she's going to be okay." And I just remember that. And I just, it was that moment that I knew I had to do more than just volunteering.
Wow. You're hitting me like a ton of bricks here, Marion. But that, you're right. That is such a powerful moment, and it's something you'll never forget. And I suppose it's that kind of pivotal moment when you go, "I need to do more here," you know. And I think with grief, sometimes we, you know, dealing with grief isn't exactly forgetting about the person you've lost. It's about embracing them. So, tell me about your sister.
Oh, Martina was the light that shone up the room every time she walked in. She had the biggest smile. So she had a genetic condition, and which made her very small in stature, but she made up for it in personality. You know, she was an incredibly boisterous, cheeky, you know, outgoing little girl who honestly would make friends with anyone and everyone. You know, she was energetic, and I never really admitted it to her, but she was way more intelligent than all of us. She would come home from school and she would give us her test results. And there was one time in a history test, she got 99.5% in her history test. And instead of us, you know, being really supportive and saying, "Oh, you're great," we were like, "What happened to the other 0.5? Because she, you know, she was just really confident. She was really out there, and she just wanted to be friends with everybody. And she was, you know, she was the person who would never be shy. You know, you couldn't be shy when you're around her. But yeah, she was just really kind. And I think probably being her younger sister, I was jealous. You know, again, never would have admitted that to her. But yeah, she was just an incredibly, and she was so strong and brave, you know, because of her genetic condition, she had to go through a lot in her, in her early years. You know, she had to deal with a lot throughout her 13 years on the earth. You know, she had surgeries and medical procedures and treatments, and every single time she had to go for another surgery or another treatment or hospital appointment, she would go and she would come back, and she'd be maybe a little bit quiet for a while, but then she would just switch back to her normal self. You know, she genuinely showed me a world full of courage and bravery that I don't think I would have ever imagined being exposed to at such a young age. But she just always did it with a smile on her face, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Bardstown often say that the doctors will treat the illness, but Bardstown will treat the child. And not only do they treat the child, Bardstown treat the families as well. Mm-hmm. And funding is a big priority of Bardstown as well, because I think Bardstown only gets something like 3% contribution from the government. Everything else has to be fundraising.
2%, yeah.
Yeah, 2%.
Yeah, everything else is just through the generosity of, you know, fundraisers, people donating money, people like yourself going out there doing a fundraiser, getting the word out there, doing bake sales, doing runs, doing marathons, whatever it might be. It's just the pure goodness and generosity of the people that we get the rest of it from. Yeah. Mm.
Marion Lynch from Bardstown, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for shedding a light on more than we see of the big red doors at Bardstown, you know, and beyond that. So thank you so much. And, you know, all you have been through and all you contribute back to Bardstown and to people who come there. Wow, I'm in absolute awe of you. You're an absolutely amazing person. Fair play to you.
Thank you so much for having me, Peter.
no child should ever have to go through something like that. But to hear what Marion is doing through Bardstown is just, it's inspirational. And at my lowest point during this challenge, I spoke to my wife, I spoke to Christopher, who's running the marathon with me, and I spoke to a few others, and I decided, as long as my body will physically allow me, I'll go as far as I can, because this is absolutely nothing compared to what some people are going through right now. I can choose to quit. They can't. I went for my weekly visit to Physio Central in Tullamore to see Cathal Egan and put a plan in place for the week ahead.
This week we're going to look at upping the mileage a little bit. The plan we worked on last week was kind of mainly walk, a little bit of jogging. We're just going to gradually increase that kind of half and half walk, run. We're going to bring your S&C amount of sessions, rehab stuff down a little bit. We'll continue kind of the minimum with them, continue stretching program. We're going to take next week, next Wednesday, see how this week went, and we're going to make a plan then for the race. So race plan for the half marathon. Again, we're not going to be pushing it because it's not the end goal. Then few weeks, then kind of 2-3 weeks after the half marathon. So them 4 weeks are going to be pretty precious for getting the miles up. So we'd be absolutely tunnel vision on just building up miles and legs by then. So we won't be risking anything during the half marathon regarding, you know, pushing times or, you know, we won't use it as a test run as such. We'll use it as a safe run, see how you get on. You know your route pretty well for the Mullingar half marathon. Yep. So you were saying the first half is quite hilly in places. The second half is more flat. So make a plan for first half, get through that okay. You're probably free then the second half to, if you're feeling good, to, you know, kind of go at your own pace then.
When I'm exercising, music is so important to me. My playlist is, let's say, eclectic, because at one point I'm listening to this, then you'll hear this, and you might just hear a little bit of this as well.
It's been a long day without you, my friend.
Yep, I don't care. Whatever gets me moving, I listen to. But music, for me, has the power to just draw out that emotion in you, but especially when you're exercising. And I spoke to the band Kingfisher about the power of one of their songs.
I'm doing something really stupid.
Right.
I'm planning to run a marathon.
Oh God.
I've never ran one before in my life, and we've given ourselves 18 weeks to train for it. And I injured myself recently.
Oh no.
And when I had the headphones on, Shot in the Dark came on.
Right.
And for me,
that's so funny.
That's a, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's for
yeah.
me now, you know yeah. what I mean? But if it all falls apart, at least we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you have to enjoy what you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
This may fall apart now.
Yeah.
You know, I may fall apart.
Yeah.
You know, might that happen. But listening to your song, I got really, really emotional. Because
right.
I thought, this has hit me in a different way than you expected it. Joining us on this Get Active with Midlands 103 journey is Midlands 103's head of sport, David Hollywood, and Encore's Claire O'Brien. So let's check in and see how they're going.
Just after finishing the Tullamore 5K, and I have to be honest, I felt dreadful. Just one of those days where your legs feel like tree trunks and you've no spark at all. Through doing this Get Active with Midlands 103 and good training down at the Harriers, an awful day was still 19 minutes 30 or something for the race. So whilst I was going backwards and feeling awful for all of it, it was still reasonable. Yeah, hope all's going well, and best luck in your preparations for the half next weekend.
Just after my last long run, so that was kind of 60 minutes made up of 4 minute run, 1 minute walk, so that's 12 times around. I won't be with you next Sunday in Mullingar, but I will absolutely be rooting for you and for everybody. It's such an achievement to have to be here, and to be part of the Midlands 103 team has really been such a privilege. I was thinking about it and remembering the first night that I went out in October to start the Couch to 5K and how tough that was, and not quite believing it was the same body going around the pitch. So thank you to all the team, to everyone for all the encouragement. I'll absolutely be rooting for you all next Sunday, competition or no competition. We are all winners. It's just fantastic.
So back on the road I go with the intention of doing a 10-kilometre run and hoping to stay injury-free. And thankfully, I did. And that was Wednesday. On Thursday, I was back to the gym for a cycle and strength and conditioning. Friday was yoga and muscle building, while Saturday, myself and Christopher finally got back on the road together for the first time in weeks.
Christy, we did it. We're back. We're back again.
We're like two Lazaruses. We just keep rising. We're good though. We're good.
Whew, 14K, done and dusted. Delighted with it myself because I did 10 the other day, testing out the leg. And then on and off, we were walking, we were jogging. Ended up doing more jogging and walking for the second half. So I think we're gearing up nicely for the half marathon. What do you think?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and look, I know there's a lot of people who listen in and they know that you've been injured for a while, so you're a credit to yourself, P, for picking back up and getting back out there, because this is your first time at distance running, and to get such an injury and now to come back and stay going at it is mental. Like, and I've been talking to you off air and whatever else, and I know the low that you hit and everything else, and now that you're back on is just incredible, so you're fair play to you, like, that's just mental.
Ah, cheers, Christy. Well, look, it's great to have somebody like yourself that I can contact, I can give a shout to, and I got great words of encouragement from you during the week, and it was brilliant, so thanks so much.
As I said there a few weeks ago, all I want is for the two of us to get over the line, and whatever that takes, it'll take, so, and we will get there.
We're on course anyway, so yeah. Thanks be to God. So, it's half marathon week. What should we be doing now leading up to the half marathon? Is there anything we need to be conscious of? Do we need to kind of taper it down a little bit and take it easy before the race on Sunday?
Yeah, just stick to a couple of short runs now during the week. Nice and easy. Keep the legs fresh enough. So, we've put a bit of endurance into them today. So, that'll be enough now for next week. So, just a couple of nice, easy 5Ks, maybe 4 or 5 miles in the middle, and then another 5K or maybe two Friday early, if you get done Friday early, and then rest Saturday, and then we'll have a bit of a run then Sunday.
Brilliant.
Crack while we're doing it. And sure, we'll have plenty of support from Midlands, I believe.
We've David Hollywood running with us. We've Will Faulkner as well. And big shout to everybody, by the way, who's got in touch. And people I don't know have got in touch with me. And give me words of encouragement, give me advice and little tips and tricks along the way. So thanks so much, everybody. Running really brings out the community spirit in people, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does, yeah. Especially when you're going public with it, it can be quite pressurised environment. But no, I have to say, like, from hearing what you've gotten and all the little comments and stuff, and people are coming saying it to me at work, like, that, you know, oh, we listen in and you're doing the marathon and everything else and best of luck, and like every bit of that I remember, because that's just people being genuinely nice, like, and it's great to have it, you know.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
thanks to everyone again for all your kind words and all your sponsorship and everything, so it's really genuinely appreciated.
Right, so next up, Mullingar Half next week.
How well.
And of course, we're doing all this mad stuff in aid of a fantastic children's charity, the Bar Sound, to do vital work for children and families all across the Midlands, all across the country. And when you donate online via Midlands103.com, or when you see it on our social pages, when you donate €10 or more, we are going to put you into a draw. Before this Friday, you could win an amazing array of prizes, including prizes from Expert Electrical in Tullamore, the Midlands Park Hotel, Cloud9 Travel, the County Arms in Burr, and loads of other places. Check it out online and donate €10 or more by the 15th of March. After that, you're still in with a chance to win a year's membership with the Unit Gym in Clara. And after that, you're in with a chance to win a signed Manchester United jersey from Old Trafford itself. So get on to Midlands103.com, click on Get Active, find it on our socials. That'll bring you to our iDonate page. Make your donation. Any help would be much, much appreciated, because we can't do this without you. And don't forget, get the entire podcast series, the extended version, on Midlands103.com/podcast, or wherever you get your podcast, just type in Get Active with Midlands 103.
Get active with Midlands 183, powered by HereMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Here when you need us. HereMed.ie.